Each Sunday, we spend time in God's Word, for we believe that God's Word in us changes us. And it is the Word of Jesus that we're looking to and listening to today. You might be here this morning, and you have plenty of friends. But the question I have to ask you this morning is, are you Jesus' friend? Or maybe you're here today and you have no friends. Once again, I'll ask you, are you the friend of Jesus? Because he wants to be your friend. You might think, well, where does Pastor Phil get this idea? Well, I just try to share with you what I read in God's Word. So we're going to stand and read together, a tradition to stand in the reading of God's Word each Sunday, John 15, 9 through 17. This is Jesus talking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Listen closely to this word here. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you, say it out loud, friends. Say it out loud again, friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Father in heaven, thank you for the words that we have before us, the powerful words of Jesus, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, speaking to us today. Lord God, there are some in this room that need to become friends with Jesus today. Lord God, there are some in this room that need to deepen their friendship with Jesus today. Lord God, I pray that as you look at this gathering of people, the first Sunday of 2018, you would see people longing to be friends with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to talk about my best friend today, and his name is Jesus. Good question. Are you friends with Jesus? You might have a long list of friends on Facebook. Maybe you wish you had a smaller list of friends on Facebook. It's interesting how Facebook works. You have a friend, and then they have a friend, and then they have a friend, and all of a sudden they want to know if you want to be their friend when you don't really know them, but you're the friend of the friend of the friend, and so now you're friends on Facebook. I guess that's how it works. I don't know if you have had good experiences with friends or you've had bad experiences with friends, but someone described maybe our problem with friendships by describing how toddlers work with their friends. This is how it works. If I like it, it's mine. If I can take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a while ago, it's mine. If I say it's mine, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I say I saw it first, it's mine. If you're having fun with it, it's mine. If you lay down your toy, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Now, we probably have a lot more in common with that than we want to admit. How we look at friends many times is through our selfishness, our lens of what matters to us, what's important to us. And so now we're going to have to stretch our hearts and our minds to a place where if we call ourselves a friend of Jesus, it's going to look different than maybe how earthly friends operate. And so the question is, are you the friend of Jesus today? And so let's find out what Jesus says about his friends. The first thing we notice is that his friends care about the same things that he cares about. So if you are a friend with someone, you maybe became friends because you care about the same things. It's like I showed the picture, I had baseball friends, maybe you have friends that like sports, and so you can commiserate together because of the Seahawks' lousy season, or you have friends because you have something in common. Okay, now, what do we care about that Jesus cares about? Okay, and how does that work? Well, verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And then he makes a statement, abide in my love. Now, we learned last week that we were branches and he's the vine, and that there is a position where every Christ follower is connected to Jesus, and that never stops. But practically, we needed to be connected to Jesus day by day. This is a follow-up thought. Positionally, every Christ follower is always surrounded by the love of Jesus. We cannot not be surrounded by his love, okay? But here he's giving us a command, and the command is abide in my love. So there's choices that I can make that will reflect the love of Christ in me and through me. There are choices that I can make that reflect my love for him. Abide in my love. That's what friends do. So every day, the way I live should be because I believe that I am loved by Jesus. By the way, that is a powerful thing. When you are tempted by the enemy, when you are discouraged, when you are overwhelmed with doubts, when you feel all alone, you need to step out by faith and believe this promise, you are loved. Okay? Satan wants to tell you that God doesn't care about you anymore. You need to live loving what he loves. So every choice I make, I have to ask myself, does Jesus love this behavior? Does he love when I gossip about his children? When I tear down and hurt and destroy what he is building up? Does he love that? No, he doesn't. And as a friend of Jesus, I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt my love relationship with him. Live so his love is part of everything you do. That's what it means to abide in my love. Now, in the dating world, when maybe you've had a hard date, it hasn't gone very well, or you're having tough conversations, you might hear this question, do you still love me? And the answer back that you might not want to hear is, I'm working on it, right? Now, that doesn't really draw you close, but at least it tells the story of what's really happening in that relationship. I'm working on it. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't have to work at loving you, but you have to work at loving him. Now, what I mean by that is you're going to have to make some decisions to draw close to him when the world is pulling you away. Dr. Oswald Sanders says it like this, each of us is as close to God as we choose to be. You might think, well, I just don't feel him anymore. I'm just so far away from God. He just seems, you know what? As someone told me this morning, he hasn't moved. And maybe there's some choices that you need to make that are different in your life that will draw you closer to him. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we're looking at this amazing relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and his Father in the Trinity. We're looking at this amazing oneness of community in the Trinity. And what Jesus tells us is this is how it works. Okay, I'm not a robot, and I just come and, yes, sir, no, sir, do what you want. And I only do what you want me to do. No, what Jesus is telling us is that the way he operates in the Trinity is out of a love for his Father. And everything he does is because he loves his Father, and he's abiding in the Father's love. And he says to us, if we have the same heart that Jesus has, we're going to want to love him with everything we do. So please, when you hear this phrase, keep my commandments. Don't hear that God has given you a list of do's and don'ts and you got to measure up in order for him to love you. Please don't hear that. What you need to hear is that if you love Jesus, you will want to please him. You will want from your heart to reach out to him and obey him and do what he asks you to do. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Okay, so he's not trying to weigh you down with all kinds of do's and don'ts and trying to be good enough so he'll love you. He's trying to say, this is an amazing place of love when I am loving you unconditionally and then you are loving me back by obeying me. There is an abiding in his love moment. And Jesus says these words to clear it all up. He's not treating us like slaves. He's not treating us like, you know, do this and don't do this and keep me happy kind of attitude. Listen to Jesus, verse 14. Listen, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So what Jesus is saying is I'm looking for men and women that are wanting to please me. They're wanting to love me back. They're wanting to give their lives to me because I'm giving my life to them. Mark 3:35, he says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother." So when we say, "God, I'm going to put you first. Jesus, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength." That's going to be seen in how I live. Now, once again, I'm going to clarify. Obedience is not the means of salvation. Okay, you're not earning your way to heaven. It is not earning salvation, but obedience is evidence or proof of salvation. So I just have to ask this question. Are you a friend of Jesus? Would anybody watching your lifestyle and your choices say, "Wow, that's a friend of Jesus," okay? Or is the kind of friendship you have with Jesus casual? What does that mean? It means, I'm not taking this real serious, but yeah, I guess I'm a friend of Jesus. And is your friendship with Jesus shallow, which means on the surface, yeah, how are you? I'm fine. You're fine. I'm fine. Everybody's fine. But we're not really talking about the things that matter. Is that the kind of friendship you have with Jesus? Is your friendship with Jesus convenient so that when Jesus asked you to do something difficult, I'm not really into that, Jesus. Hey, try again next week, you know. Is your friendship with Jesus for the moment? It feels good right now, but I don't know about tomorrow. Maybe not. If you had a friend that had that attitude towards you, would that really be your friend? So Jesus is asking us, "I want you to be my friend." But the question is, are you willing to be his friend and to care about the same things that he cares about? So when he says, "I really need you to reach out to the lost, I need you to reach out to the poor, I need you to sacrificially give, I need you to be unselfish in a relationship, I need you to forgive," if you're a friend of Jesus, you'll care about the things he cares about. Henry Blackaby said it like this, "I think God is crying out and shouting to us, don't just do something, stand there. Enter into a love relationship with me. Get to know me." Now, this is very important. "Adjust your life to me. Let me love you and reveal myself to you as I work through you. A time will come when the doing will be called for, but we cannot skip the relationship. The relationship with God must come first." So when you get this clear, it's because you love Jesus so much. Now you are wanting to get to know him and start to care about the things that he cares about. If you call yourself a friend of Jesus, I want to ask you, does your lifestyle reflect your friendship? Now, the second thing you'll notice about a friendship with Jesus is you're going to care about the people that he cares about. Okay, so you have good friends and your good friend says, "I want you to meet my other friend." And you'll go, "Of course I want to meet you because he cares about you, I'm going to care about you. Or she cares about you, I'm going to care about you." Now, this is how it works with the body of Christ, the family of God. John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That you love one another. You see, I have to love you because you're a friend of Jesus. And Jesus wants me to love you. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if I say, I am a friend of Jesus, yeah, me, Jesus and I, we're close. But I don't care about you. Okay, so if you have a wedding, this is an older tradition. We don't always practice this anymore. So you show up at the wedding, and there used to be an usher conversation with you when you walked into the church. Are you a friend of the bride or the groom? I don't know. Let's see, I got to decide. I don't know. And I had one wedding that was so awkward. It was so awkward. This was about, I don't know how many years ago. And the friends of the bride just filled the room. And the friends of the groom had like four people. And it was in those days where you had to sit on the side that you were friends of. So, I mean, we had packed and four people. And it was like, this is really awkward, okay? So listen closely. When you're a friend of the groom, you're automatically a friend of the bride, okay? Because Jesus says, he's the groom. If you love me, you're going to love my bride, okay? So now watch this. When you attack another Christ follower, you have to go through Jesus to get to his bride, and so you're attacking him. So Jesus says, this is very important. You want to be my friend? This is what it looks like. You're going to do my commandments. You're going to care about what I care about. And now I want to tell you, I care about people. And when you love people, you are showing that you're my friend. Okay. So my example of how to love is Jesus. My mentor in helping me to know how to love is Jesus. My motivator, sometimes I need some motivation to love people, it's going to be Jesus. My teacher, Jesus, help me out here. I have no idea how to love this person. And Jesus says, that's okay, I'll teach you. Because Jesus loves them. So I need to learn to love them. My coach on how to love people is Jesus. So Jesus is going to coach me and say, oh man, Phil, that word was not the right word. That hurt somebody. I'm going to coach you to do it different next time. My filter in how to love people is Jesus. So he's going to help me to love people the way he loves them. And then he gives us an illustration, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Verse 13. Man, I want to just tell you what a friendship looks like. It looks like self-sacrifice. Now, we all know what that looks like in our horizontal relationships. I so appreciate the men and women that serve in our military, and every one of them knows that they are signing up to lay their life down, okay? I so appreciate our first responders in our community, in our church. When things are hard, they're the ones running in, and everyone else is running away, okay? And they know when they become a police officer or a firefighter or an EMT, they're going to go into tough situations. Parents that have kids, you know what self-sacrifice looks like. I don't want to change a dirty diaper, so the husband and wife have a little argument. It's your turn, right? But you still do it because that's what you have to do. And because you love them. And you're there for them in the middle of the night when they're having a hard time or when they're sick or when they're out and you're waiting for them to return because you love them. And it's sacrificial love. Every Christ follower's definition of love is sacrifice. Okay. Ephesians 5:2 says this, walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. That's Jesus. He gave himself up for us, and that's our definition of love. Sacrificial, unselfish, costly, extreme, whatever it takes, all in kind of love, okay? So when you are a friend of Jesus, this is how you're going to love people, as Jesus loves them. 1 John 3:16, Did you know that John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 say similar things? Did you know that? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, as and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We all know what that looks like in horizontal relationships. There was a reminder on Christmas Day. I don't know if you saw this on the internet. Christmas Day, an 8-year-old in Utah fell into a frozen pond. Brother or sister saw it happen. They run for help. The first person on the scene was Sergeant Aaron Thompson. He had some dive rescue training, and so he immediately knows, I got to get to the boy. I can't wait. So he wades into the frozen pond, breaking the ice with his arms, walks 25 feet into the pond, punching through the ice every step. Cannot see him any longer because he's now under the water. He dives underwater. This is an ice-cold pond. Cannot see under the water, moving his arms, feels the boy, brings him up, brings him back to the shore. The boy had been in the pond for 25, 30 minutes. I don't know if he was under the water that whole time, but he was in the pond that long, and the boy survived. That split-second moment, my life does not matter right now. I need to save him. I will do what it takes. The standard of love that Jesus is giving to us for his friendship is sacrifice. First of all, I need to love him back with that kind of love. Jesus, my life belongs to you. I will give my all for you. And second, I will give my all to the people that you care about. It says in verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. First Peter says that our love for each other should be fervent or earnest. It should be on fire is really the literal Greek word there. A sign of friendship is that I'm going to care about your family. The sign of friendship with Jesus is I'm going to care about his family. Okay, now I can't do that in my own ability. You can't do that in your own ability. That's why Romans 5:5 is very important. God's love, Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what God is asking us is, you can't do it on your own. Jesus, help me love the people you love. Okay, I got this. I'm going to pour my spirit into you, and my spirit will fill you with my love so that that love will spill out to others. Someone said this, Patrick Morley, the height of our love for God will never exceed the depth of our love for one another. So if you're saying to God, you're saying to Jesus, I want to be friends with you, but I don't care about your people. And I don't want to love people, but I love you. Jesus says, that doesn't really work for me. In fact, the depth of your love for people is going to reflect really the height of your love for him. In other words, it goes together. Okay. So, cool story. Ernest Shackleton, 1908, was on an Antarctic expedition trying to reach the South Pole. They got about 97 miles from the South Pole, and they had turned back, so they didn't really reach it at that time. But in his diary, he told of the time when their food supplies were exhausted, save for one last ration of hardtack, a dried sort of biscuit that was distributed to each man, kind of like, this is it, we don't have anything more. When he was almost asleep, out of the corner of his eye, he noticed one of the most trusted men sitting up in his bag, looking about to see if anyone was watching. They're down to the one piece of hardtack each. Shackleton's heart sank within him as this man began to reach toward the food sack of the man next to him. Everybody's sleeping. Shackleton watched as the man opened the food sack and took his own hardtack and put it in the other man's sack. When you're faced with life and death situations, is your love clearly sacrificial? Oh, not just life and death situations, but if people looked at your life, would they say, that's a friend of Jesus because he loves the friends of Jesus. The third thing you're going to notice with a friendship with Jesus is this word communicate. So if you have good friends, you're going to communicate. if you stop talking and you haven't talked at all, you're probably not that close of friends. I mean, Jesus says in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, so the servant does not know what his master is doing. So he's saying, now this is what a slave looks like. A slave looks like you got this much information, you got this category of job that you're doing. You don't know how the whole house is being run. You just know that you got to clear the table and you have to wash the dishes. He says, now, he uses the word servant, which is a Greek word, doulos. And doulos is not based on a relationship. In some ways, we are the servants of God, and there are some passages that talk about us serving. So this is not an exclusive definition here. But basically, if you're a servant, there is some kind of contract, or you've been purchased by someone in those first century. And the focus is on a task or a job to be done. In other words, I need you to do this job. That we don't have a relationship necessarily, but if you show up and do your job, I'm happy with you. I'm going to give you an order, and I expect you to obey the order. In the Bible, did you know that Abraham, in the Old Testament, is the only one that's called the friend of God? So when I hear these words from Jesus, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You call yourself a friend of Jesus. The question I'd ask you is, are you listening to him? Have you heard his voice? So much so that when you make a decision, it's reflecting his thoughts, his heart. A description of a Christ follower, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. So back to Abraham, if Abraham was the friend of God, that's what God said about Abraham, then there must be some kind of conversation going on that reflects that friendship. Genesis 18:17 says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? In other words, I'm calling Abraham my friend, therefore I'm going to share with him. I'm going to talk to him. Jesus says in Mark 4:11, he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. Do you know why Jesus spoke in parables? Because he wanted his friends to know something. And so he hid the heavenly meaning so the friends would pick up on it, but the non-friends wouldn't get it. Verse 34 of Mark 4, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. Now, Jesus wants to explain things to you and to me. And if you're his friend, you're going to be listening to his explanation. You're going to want to know, what does Jesus think about this? What does Jesus feel about this? What is important to Jesus about this? Exodus 33:11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. So when you have a kindred spirit with somebody and you're friends, you're going to want to share and talk and get connected verbally with each other. An amazing description of prayer is a conversation with your friend. If you've had a hard time praying, maybe the problem is you don't understand it's talking to your friend. Prayer is a conversation. Brennan Manning shared this story. That when this man was having a hard time, he's physically, his body is dying, he's in the hospital, and he doesn't have much time left. And he shared, I don't know how to pray. And so it was suggested to this man that he set a chair out where you would pray and imagine that you were having a conversation with Jesus. So you put an empty chair out, and you imagine you're just talking to your best friend. The Lord Jesus was in that chair. And so the man had asked, you know, this is what I've been doing. Is that good? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? And yes, that's amazing. That's exactly what prayer is all about. It's not only all right, but I think it delights the heart of God that your prayer is an intimate conversation with him. A few days later, Brennan Manning got a call from the daughter of the man, and she said these words, that her father had died. And they found his body in a strange position. When we walked into his hospital room, his head was leaning on a chair by his bed. if you understand a relationship with Jesus, that he is your best friend, you are going to talk to him. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So the normal Jewish culture would be that a disciple, wannabe, would approach a rabbi and ask for application to be one of his disciples. Jesus flips it around and says, I'm choosing you. Now, what does that mean to our friendship? Do you know that Jesus took the initiative towards you? He wants you by his grace. He values you. Now this is important. He's not reluctant about your friendship. Okay, oh man, do I have to be friends with him or her? Oh man. He's not manipulated or persuaded to include you. Okay. So, you know, you have that, let's go back to that wedding illustration or maybe some kind of party. And you know what happens sometimes. You have to invite so-and-so. You know what I'm talking about. It's the cousin to our Uncle Charlie, and they're going to get offended and Aunt Mary's going to get upset because so the cousin of her second wife's friend's neighbor is not going to be invited. And all of a sudden, you have to put them on the list. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, when Jesus saw you and your name, he did not say, oh, do I have to? Really? Really? Do you know by his grace, he is choosing you for salvation? He is choosing you for a relationship. He's choosing you to be part of his ministry on earth. You are chosen. That friendship is solid. You can talk to him because it's based by his grace on this chosen relationship. Verse 16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Galatians 4:7 says you're no longer a slave but a son. If a son, then an heir through God. So if people heard about your prayer life, yes, I stand and I recite five verses of something and that's my prayer. They would say, you're not much of a friend with Jesus, are you? But if they ask about your prayer life and you say, man, I talk to Jesus all day. And I know he values me and he wants me to talk to him. And I know I'm chosen and loved. And by his grace, I'm in relationship with him. And I can't stop talking to him about everything. Then they know by looking at your prayer life that you're a friend of Jesus. The last thing I wanted to share is that you're going to know that you're chosen to also bear fruit. You're chosen to bear fruit. So we talked about this last week, the idea of the plan of God is for his followers to bear much fruit. Now the question is, if you're a friend of Jesus, you're going to help him with the harvest. You're going to be helping him with the farm. You're going to be helping him do what he's called to do, and that is to reach more people for Jesus. It says in verse 16, appointed that you should go, bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So you've been appointed to do a job, to care about the things that he cares about, to care about the people he cares about, to communicate continuously as a friend would communicate to a friend, and then to bear the fruit that he is asking you to bear fruit. Colossians 1:10 says, we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. I mean, that's what it means to be a Christ follower. So, are you a friend of Jesus? Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, I know there possibly is someone in this room that has never thought they could be a friend of Jesus. They've been trying to earn their way. They've been trying to be good enough. And this amazing message of your grace, that by grace we are saved through faith, it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, is a brand new thought to them. I pray they would see Jesus in his unconditional love reaching out to them right now. And that today, this first Sunday of 2018, would be the day that they become friends with Jesus. Lord God, in this room, there are many that have called themselves friends of Jesus. We have to evaluate that friendship today. We have to see that maybe we need to improve our friendship, to care deeply about the things that you care about. Maybe it's our prayer life that needs to be adjusted, to talk to you more, spend more time with you in prayer. Lord God, I pray that as you see South Hills Church, you would see the friends of Jesus. by what we do, how we talk to one another, how we love one another. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.